What is up, guys? And it's me, your host, Nessa, and this is the Squared Circle Addicts podcast. Today is a big day because not only do we have AEW's Fight of the Fallen, but today is the day that I bring you guys my Extreme Rules predictions. But this time, it's a little bit different, and I'm super excited about this because the last time I tried to do this, I had technical difficulties. But I think we got it all squared away now. Today, I have a very, very special guest with me. I have my buddy Benji on Twitter. He is known as Cavalera Comedy. I'm sure I probably butchered your handle, but if I did, you can correct me. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Benji. How the hell are you?
Hey, what up, what up, what up? You pronounced it right. It was close enough.
All right, cool. How do you correctly say it for those who might be curious?
Can find me at Calavera Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, all.
There you go. You said it with the accent and I didn't. So there you go. I appreciate that. And yeah, let's get this show on the road. How excited are you for Extreme Rules? On a scale of 1 to 10, just looking at the match card on paper, how excited are you for this?
I'll be honest. I'll be honest. Going into it, I was probably at a 4, but going over the card today and looking at all the matches we actually are gonna get, I'm gonna say I'm at a high 7, actually.
You know what? I agree with you. I definitely do. I think going into this pay-per-view, the build-up and the matches weren't really exciting to me. It almost felt like they were just kind of throwing everything together, and they're like, "Okay, here you go. It's the best we've got." But like you said, going down the line, match by match, I'm like, "Oh man, there's a lot of good matches on this card." And it's hard to say what could be match of the night. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Like originally, I thought, okay, Cesaro, Aleister Black, that's clearly the match of the night. But then I'm like, wait, we got the Usos and the Revival? Like, yo, this card is stacked.
Hell yeah. And speaking of the Usos and the Revival, I'm very excited to see this match because I know that a lot of the times people, like to say that WWE doesn't, really focus on the tag team division. But I definitely think that the Revival and the Usos are probably the best tag team in the WWE right now. So I'm
Without a
excited for
doubt.
them.
Without a doubt. They're coming in hungry. They have a lot to prove.
They definitely do. And since we're on the topic of the Usos and the Revival, I guess that's the first match we should talk about. I know this is probably going to be all over the place in no particular order. In fact, I'll probably do it as what I'm most excited about and things like that. But yeah, the Usos and the Revival. Who do you think is going to take this one? I'll let you go first on this one. Who do you think is going to take it?
My gut instinct, I always gotta go Usos. Always, always, always. But I think it's the Revival's time.
You
I
think
really do.
you really think they're finally gonna do that, huh? No, I hope you're right, because the people who've listened to this show before, they know like 100% I'm behind the Revival. I always have been. I've been a fan of theirs since they were in NXT, and so when they came to the main roster, I was really, stoked for them. But as WWE tends to do, they kind of screw up stars when they go to the main roster, and that's what happened, and then they had those amazing matches with the what was it, the new American Alpha, if you will, on Raw, and they with Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, and they losing. And I remember like when they finally won those tag titles, I was like, fucking finally my boys did it, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
And
No,
that,
I yeah.
oh no, go
They
ahead.
that was to say they I've been listening to your podcast. I hear how loyal you are, how hype you've been for the Revival, and seeing how amazing they were in NXT. You expected the world for them when they got on. Sure, they had little injuries here and there, but even then, like, it just seemed like it was one step forward, two steps back with them. And as, like, same with you. Once they won, I was like, hell yeah, let's go, let's get the Revival up there. And it was just like they just ended up, floundering, flopping.
Yeah, they lost. Like, they lost at WrestleMania to Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, of all people. And I remember I was so pissed off. I was like, man, I get it. Like, they're near New York. Zack Ryder's from New York. I get that Curt Hawkins, you know, has been losing his whole career pretty much. I get that. And I get that, you know, maybe the good time to reverse that would be WrestleMania. But I was like, really, on the Revival, though? They had it for, like, I don't know, it felt like less than 2 weeks. So I was very frustrated. But now they have this match against the Usos.
And the Usos have consistently been one of the better tag teams, I would say, in any promotion, honestly.
Yep. No, I agree with you 100% there. And it's funny because I know some people that might be listening to this, they might be like, but what about the Young Bucks? You know?
Come on. And Young Bucks are great.
They're great. They're great. Yeah. But I definitely think it's weird because here's the thing. I'm going to scurry a little bit. AEW has a great tag team division. And what I appreciate about their tag team division is they utilize it more than WWE does.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But even though WWE doesn't utilize their division on paper and who's signed to the tag team division in WWE, it's miles better than AEW's tag team division.
Wow.
That's what I would say. That's what I would say because, I mean, you have, like, the Usos, you have the Revival, you have the New Day, you know, you have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. They were doing it for a while. I don't know if that'll ever come back, but that was a great tag team. Even in the women's division, their tag team is great, but they're just not utilizing it. That's the problem. But I feel that if they did utilize it, they would have AEW beat there.
Would you say that overall WWE has overall more talent than anybody else?
Ooh, that's a tough question. You put me on the spot. You know what?
Put you on the spot.
I mean, in some aspects, yes. I would say maybe it's like half and half because I do feel that, like, AEW has some people that I know WWE would love to have and vice versa. And that's what I think is so great about all of this, you know, whether you're on Team All Elite or, you know, you're World Wrestling Entertainment diehard like myself. I think what's great about this is we are legit, you know, getting competition that we haven't had in a long time. And I do think that slowly by surely the WWE is going to realize that and be like, all right, we need to start pushing out matches like this. We need to start doing certain things differently. And, you know, it may be very small, but I've already noticed a few things. So, but, you know, I rambled, but to answer your question, I'm unsure about that one because, like I said, WWE, they have the best talent, but then I feel like they would want some people in AEW as well. So I feel like they're half and half.
Okay. I can respect that answer. I can respect that. That's a hard question.
We will see. We'll see what happens, though, in the future. I think AEW is very promising, and I can't wait to see what they do next. But moving upward, downward in the card, like I said, it's going to be all over the place. We are going to talk about the Cruiserweight Championship. I think that's actually happening on the pre-show, as it always does.
No, for real?
I think so, yeah. I think they're
putting...
That's very frustrating, though, because I'll be honest, I know there's a lot of people that don't really watch the pre-show, because I'm one of those people, because sometimes I'm busy around the time that it's on, and it's like I'm doing things right before the main card, and, you know, so I feel like a lot of people aren't really exposed to the Cruiserweight roster, which is a shame, because there are some amazing, amazing talent in that division.
I'm a Cruiserweight guy. I've been a 205 Live guy since the beginning, and it's so frustrating to see them kill themselves every week, putting on the best matches only just to get maybe the first match, maybe pre-show. That's terrible, man.
It really is. I got to feel for the guys involved in that division because, like you said, it's literally a constant thing. They're either put on the pre-show, and if they're not put on the pre-show – they're almost always used as like the cooldown match. You know what I mean? Like the match before you just saw, you know, right after you saw a classic and then right before the main event. And it's, like I said, it's a shame because I think it's a great division. I mean, I loved everything Buddy Murphy did to that division. I mean,
he was a revelation in 205 Live.
He really was, and he really was the best-kept secret. Like, his name fit him to a T because I don't think a lot of people, you know, paid attention to him even when he was in NXT because, let's be honest here, the star of that faction was Alexa Bliss. Let's be honest, you know?
Yeah. I can respect that. I respect that energy,
And I feel like, you know, Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake, both of them, you know, they got forgotten about. They really, really did, and it's been cool to see them reinvent themselves. You know, Buddy Murphy did his thing, and then you got Wesley Blake with the Forgotten Sons. But it's a shame now because, like you said, now all the work that Buddy and everybody else did for that division, it's just kind of like forgotten about by WWE.
Damn. But I really do think this match could be one of the better matches on the show. And it's a stacked card.
It really is a stacked card, but yeah, you look at the names Drew Gulak and Tony Nese, and you're thinking, man, I'm gonna be in for a treat on that one. I'll do my prediction first on this one. I would love to see Drew Gulak get the win because I kind of like him more aesthetically and the way he wrestles more than I like Tony Nese. But that being said, I don't know. I think Tony Nese is on a roll right now, and I definitely don't see his reign ending just yet, so I'm gonna go with Tony Nese to retain.
Wow. Okay. I gotta go Gulak all the way.
All right. Cool. So we're opposite on this one.
He has so much more. He also had so much momentum coming into this title. His new, the way his character has changed and everything, and I feel like it'd be a shame just to cut that loose little. Too soon, I think.
Alrighty, I respect that answer. I like how we're 1-1. We agree on the revival retaining, but we're different on the cruiserweight. So let's keep that energy going. I like it. We'll see what happens. Okay, so let's talk about. I'm looking at the card here, and I'm trying to decipher what I want to talk about next. Let's talk about Cesaro versus Aleister Black. Ooh. I think. Match is going to be amazing. I love the fact that it was Cesaro that answered Aleister's door because I think their styles are similar but also different enough to, you know, have a clinic because you have Aleister with his kicks and, like, you know, his quickness, and Cesaro's also quick, but he's more of like a powerhouse, you know, with his lifts and things like that. So it's contrasting styles, but I think it's to make a great matchup.
That surprises me. A lot of people were upset that it was Cesaro. A lot of people wanted like a Bray Wyatt to be in it.
Definitely. I have heard the complaints with, you know, because people wanted either Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton because they've been doing him and Aleister Black have been doing matches on house shows and everybody's been receiving it really well. But yeah, I guess I'm not upset necessarily because, okay, maybe from a storyline standpoint, it doesn't make sense, I guess. But I think I'm excited more for the fact that in a wrestling standpoint, I know it's going to be a good match or a good feud or whatever. So I think that's why I'm not too upset about it. But I do understand why people wanted it to be Bray because, you know, they've been hyping him up for months. And, you know, recently at the Firefly Funhouse, it looked like he left the house, you know. So I can get why people were upset, but for Bray Wyatt, I think he's going to be involved in something much bigger. I feel like we might see him at SummerSlam, honestly. I think the WWE is going to make us wait, which is smart, though, because when we finally get it, we're going to be like, fuck yeah, you know?
Hell yeah. So no, I agree with you 100%. That you said it spot on. Bray Wyatt, they're definitely going to – there's definitely big plans for him, and it's definitely going to be something a lot bigger. Not to say that this isn't, you know, Aleister Black's sorrow isn't a big thing, but it's going to be a bigger scope that they're going to take with Bray Wyatt, for sure.
Definitely. I mean, we could see him being in the title picture. We could see him feuding with maybe someone like Finn Balor, and they'll do it right this time, you know, and not in a stupid PG included type of way. I mean, I don't know. It could be anybody. It could. They could even. He could even have a feud with the War Raiders if he wanted to. I don't know how it would work, but I feel like that's the thing. He's going to randomly pick victims, if you will, and I think that's what's going to be exciting about it, because it'll just be kind of everywhere. And right, that's
you just never know where he's going to show up. I got you.
It would kind of be like very horror movie feeling almost, you know, like he's out there to get everyone. So I definitely think that's going to be worth the wait. So with Aleister Black versus Cesaro, Benji, who do you think takes the?
I love Cesaro, but I have to go Aleister Black on this one.
Yep, and hey, I'm the same way. I love Cesaro. I've been about Swiss Superman forever. I loved it when he had his first run as United States Champion, when Oksana was his manager. I don't know if y'all remember that, but that was...
Oh, that's a throwback.
That's a throwback, man. That's how, like, true blue I am to Cesaro. I love him. I love that he, you know, got reinvented pretty much after, you know, Tyson Kidd was forced to retire, because I feel like they had big plans for them. But obviously that happened, and then they randomly put him together with Sheamus. And I remember when it first happened, I was like, huh, what is this?
They became one of the better tag teams, man.
Absolutely. You took the word right out of my mouth, because that's what I was literally just getting ready to say, was that they became one of the best tag teams especially that SmackDown had. And it was interesting, because it's like, that just shows you, you know, when the chemistry is right, the chemistry is right. So, yeah, right. I love Cesaro. I do. I love the dude. But I got to go with Aleister Black, too, because I can't imagine WWE giving him all these promos and, you know, talking about he just wants to fight and he just wants someone to answer his door. And just, I don't think they would give him all those promos just to have him go out there and lose. So, unfortunately, right. I think Cesaro's kind of the guy that's just been thrown in there, and they're like, you're going to get obliterated by this guy, you know?
Yeah. Yo, when Cesaro had that Swiss rapper theme, man.
Oh, yes. That's a throwback, too. Man, yes. I forgot that was a thing. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. Yes. That was some good. That was good stuff. Good times, man. Good times. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. People forget Cesaro's been here for a minute, man. He's had a lot of themes, a lot of character shifts. And he's been consistently putting in good matches. For whatever reason, they just never pull the trigger on him.
I agree 100%. I think, like you said, every match that he's in, it's a good match. It's almost like if you see his name on the card, you're like, oh, well, that's going to be a good match because he's in it. And, like, that Superman swing thing he does, like, he be lifting up people that I don't even think he could lift up. And I'm like, how are you doing this right now? Like, you are not human. It's crazy. And I definitely want to see him in, like, a title picture thing. Maybe, you know, with the United States title again, that would be great. But unfortunately, yeah, I think he's taking the L tomorrow. And it kind of makes me sad. But I understand that they also have to push Aleister too, because on the opposite side of the coin, I wouldn't want to see his talents get wasted either, because he's amazing. So it's hard for me.
The only thing that would disappoint me is if they put on a great match and then we get like some shenanigans towards the end, or maybe like a Randy Orton interference just to set up the next feud. That would be the only thing that would disappoint me in this kind of match.
I agree, because then there would be no clear winner, and it's like you just ruined the classic. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Which they tend to do a lot. Let's just be honest. They kind of like to do a little bit too much when they should just keep it simple.
Exactly. They try to, overbook everybody, I guess, in a sense. And it gets really sloppy. So the next match is Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in a last man standing match.
What a build for this match.
No, I agree. You know, it's funny because people kind of shat on this match when it first happened.
Right. All it took was them going through that the entrance way. That's all it took to get people on board.
Exactly. And it was crazy because that's how they opened Raw. What was it? 2 weeks ago? I think it
Yeah,
was.
yeah.
Yeah. Because I wasn't even in town when that happened. I was actually traveling. And my friend was in attendance because that's when they were, I believe, somewhere in Texas. And that's where my friend is from. And she's like, oh my God, like, I'm pretty sure someone just died. By the way, my friend isn't like a hardcore wrestling fan. She just
Right.
recently got into it because of the man. And she actually met the man like a week before she went to this.
Wow.
Yeah, so
That's
she's,
awesome.
yeah, it's amazing to see how like Becky got my friend into wrestling, and I was like, she's all about it, going to the events and everything. And I'm like, this is great.
That's awesome. Yes, I'm all about that.
Me too. I'm all about people, you know, finding out about wrestling. And yeah, it was funny because she messaged me when that happened, and she was like, I think two people just died, and I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. So I had to go on Twitter and like look it up, and everybody's talking about this. And that was, you know, the first night that Paul Heyman was in charge. So I was like, oh shit, like is this what we're doing? Is this where we're going now? And it was great. I freaking loved it. It looked so legit too. Like, I understand. And my friend was like, I think somebody just died.
Yeah, that was crazy. Cause this, in my opinion, the whole arm wrestling thing, tug of war thing, that wasn't the best of builds for this match. But that moment, that changed everything.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. I feel like the armrest and the tug of war, it was cheesy, and not to be mean, but it kind of reminded me of like the olden days when, like, you know, the women would wrestle and like.
Oh yeah, all the brawn panties crap.
Yeah, like
all
it
that.
Reminded me of that. It was very like cliche and just cringy, and I was like, oh, this is.
Here's a throwback for you. That was kind of like the Triple H, Scott Steiner type stuff they were doing.
Yes! Oh my gosh! Whoa! I'm so glad that I have someone that like remembers shit that I remember, because that, yeah, that's a good one. That's
that
a good
shit was
example.
Cringy.
It was very, very cringy. It was like, this is what we're watching now, I guess. Okay.
That's, you know, honestly, that's the kind of stuff that comes out when your friends that don't like wrestling. That's the kind of stuff they'll show you. Like, oh, you like wrestling? What about this?
Yep, exactly. They're like, well, how do you like this? And I'm like, that's a bad example. That's terrible. No, like, this is not what we like. We promise. We don't like this. No, I agree. And that's how this match has been. It's kind of been, you know, meh with the build, and then that happened and it changed, and it made me go, oh shit, I actually kind of want to see this match now. As far as who I think is gonna take the W, that's really hard to say, because I feel like both Braun and Bobby are in a spot where they both need a win, and they both need like to reinvent their legitimacy, because I feel they both, when they, you know, they just got thrown into stupid storylines, both of them. You know, you had Bobby with his like whole sister thing that they did, and that was trash.
That was so trash.
So trashy. That was bad taste, WWE. Shame on you. it was awful. And then, you know, they put him in with Leo Rush, and he was feuding with Finn for a while, which was fine. But then they like threw him with Baron Corbin, and it was so stupid. So like, yeah, he came back, I was hyped for it, but almost instantly like I didn't really care about his return. And then with Braun, they pretty much did the same thing, because he was super over. Everybody was like, you know, chanting get these hands all the time. You know, he was over because he was Alexa Bliss's mixed tag team partner that did really well. So He was gaining a fan base, a loyal one, at least I thought. And then, you know, he got thrown into a storyline with Saturday Night Live people, and it was just kind of like, okay. And every big match he had for a title, he would lose it. And it's like, but you're the monster among men. How are you losing this thing? It made no sense to me. And, yeah, I definitely think both of them could definitely use the W on this one. I really do. But I think I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that Bobby Lashley takes the win on this one.
Well, I was going to say the exact same thing.
We are agreeing 100% right now. This is crazy.
I think Strowman can take the L. He'll bounce back. I think Bobby Lashley, just he more than anything needs this. I think, like you said, he's become so dominant. Then he becomes basically just a henchman to Corbin, to McIntyre, and he's just not really, you know, breaking out like as he should. You know, that look he had when he fought Finn Balor with the whole green contacts on, I thought that was an amazing look. Like, he looked like a beast. But then it's just like, you know, I don't know why they just keep constantly throwing him into these like storylines that just do not work. His whole thing with Sami Zayn, I think that really killed all his momentum going in. And I feel like with a win, not that, you know, with a win here, I feel like it'll pretty much elevate him over Strowman. And Strowman can always bounce back. That guy's charismatic as hell. He reminds me a lot of like the Big Show. Just you could put him wherever, he's gonna do good. He'll always win the people back. So I think Lashley's taking this one.
For sure, I like that. I like your reasoning for Lashley too. So yeah, we are in agreement that Lashley needs this one a little bit more. Moving down to the card, it's the SmackDown tag team titles being defended as Daniel Bryan and Rowan defend their titles against The New Day and Heavy Machinery. Oh man, this match is gonna be really interesting, I think.
Yeah. I don't remember the New Day having a bad tag team match. So Daniel Bryan, he goes 100% every single time. And as we saw with that triple threat on SmackDown last week, like, there's a lot of chemistry between all these teams.
Yeah, it's crazy because honestly, it wasn't really something I expected. But like as you said, you know, every single time the New Day has a match, it's a good match. Like you said, I can't even think of a bad match they had. In fact, I can't even think of a bad match individually that they've had, which is crazy because I think that's why the New Day works so well, you know. And then
yeah,
the pairing of Bryan and Rowan, I think, is brilliant. At first, I was like,
what's going on? What are they doing here? You know,
like, all right then, I guess. But it's worked wonders, and I like how Rowan has become the heavy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he just takes care of business. But then you have Daniel Bryan, in my opinion, one of the greatest of all time, doing what he does. You know what I mean? Every single time that dude's in a ring, you know you're gonna be entertained.
This might be a hot take, but to me, I feel like that injury he had and being given another chance, he's ran with it 100%, and he's not looked back. And I feel like it's given him a new life, a new appreciation for everything, because that guy is just throwing it all out there.
I agree 100%, and it's funny because right as you were talking, I thought in my head, it gave him new life, and then you said it gave him new life, and I'm like, yes, that's...
We're on the same page.
What it is, and I remember when he made that retirement speech, I cried. I was like...
Oh, yeah.
Dan O'Brien, like, that's my boy. Like, I was so sad, and then to hear that he was coming back...
If you didn't cry during that, I don't know what's wrong with you, man. That was emotional.
If you didn't cry during that, you have no heart. It's not, you don't have a functioning being heart in your body right now. Cause yeah, that one got me. It really did. And you know, to see him come back, it's incredible. And to see how he took this, you know, his gimmick that he had with the planet's champion and, you know, the environmentalist, which is cool because that's exactly who he is in real life, you know, but he took it and made it annoying, you know, the version of the you know, save the planet people that everybody likes to crap talk about. Yeah. Like, not everybody's like that, we swear, you know, but at the same time, it, you know, it is who he is, and it worked for him. And the whole, like, him, you know, calling the fans fickle, I was like, well, he's not lying, he's 100% correct. Like, that's what made me love him. I was like, I'm going to cheer for you, even if that's not popular thing to do, because I actually agree with everything you're saying right now. So high five to you.
Yo, when he threw away the belt because it was made out of leather, the hemp made belt.
That was incredible.
Like he, even if you see him like at local like interviews, like with a reporter or whatever, he still goes. His promos are like 10 out of 10. Like he's fully commits to this character, and as they always say, a character that you believe in and that's you just turned up a little bit, people buy in.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he's been able to do. So I like, you know, Rowan and Daniel as a tag team. And then Heavy Machinery, to be honest, and this might be an unpopular opinion. Uh-oh. Or maybe
hot take.
The hot take time, some people may not agree, but I'm not really into them. And I wasn't. Yeah, and I wasn't really into them when they were in NXT either. They weren't my tag team in NXT because, like, my favorites, well, they're not in there anymore, but my favorite tag team in NXT, especially around the time that Heavy Machinery was doing their thing, was the War Raiders, or should I say the Viking Raiders, because apparently we're not allowed to say war anymore. I don't know. But that was my tag team. So for me, I was just kind of like, Heavy Machinery, they're good wrestlers. You know, I got to see them wrestle live against, I want to say that it was the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. I saw them in June last year, and that was a match that I saw. And they were really entertaining, and they got the crowd going. And for that, I appreciate them. But I don't know. I just can't get into them.
That's fair. The best thing about wrestling, though, is, like, there's different styles, and there's something for everyone. If Daniel Bryan Rowan are not your thing, then you might like Heavy Machinery. If that's not more your cup of tea, then you got the New Day. There's just so many different styles that blend and match together in wrestling that you can appreciate. And that's totally fair. You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to like Heavy Machinery. That's cool. It's probably the first time I've ever heard that, but it's cool. It's all good.
I'm in the minority. I will say, though, I do love the Caterpillar. I do love it. I think Otis and the Caterpillar is the greatest thing ever, and I love how he called it the Caterpillar and not the Worm. It's right. Awesome. I think it's great. But with that being said, do you want to – did you throw out the prediction first for the last one, or was it me?
It was you. I could take this one. I'm gonna say Brian and Rowan retain.
Brian and Rowan retain. I'm on the same page with you on this one.
Wow.
I think Brian and Rowan are going to retain, and I think that it's going to be close to where, like, you think it's going to be the New Day, but then, you know, something happens, and then Brian and Rowan retain. And I think, I mean, this might also be a hot take, but it's something that, you know, has been, like, rumbling in the wrestling world of rumors.
Oh, no, don't you say it. Don't you say it.
You probably know where I'm going, huh? I think the loss of the New Day is going to create some tension, some...
You're breaking my heart.
I know, because it's not a popular one. It really isn't. I feel like it's got to happen eventually. I know that nobody wants it to happen, including myself. I don't know if it will happen tomorrow, but I think that the seeds are going to start being planted. It has to happen eventually. All great tag teams eventually break up at least once.
Yeah, true.
That's the thing in WWE, you know? And I think Big E is going to be the one to be the traitor just because, you know, he came back from injury and, like, I think he's going to be like, you know, what about, like, not to steal a line from Dolph Ziggler, but, like, what about me, you know? Like, that should be me. I was the chosen one before you guys were, you know, because that is an argument. For a while, Big E was that, like, oh, man, look at this guy. Like, you know, he was Dolph Ziggler's heavy, and he took care of business. So I feel like he has the most gripe, and I definitely think that, you know, like I said, the seeds are going to start being planted tomorrow. For that.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
So,
but you know what? They've been together, was it like 5 years already almost as a tag team and never split up? In this modern era, that's like unheard of, man. Like for a team to be together that long. So I know it has to happen eventually. I would have liked to see, it's just the fan in me. I would have liked to see Kofi with the title and the New Day. Three titles right there.
Oh my gosh, dude, that would be sick. That would be sick. That would be really, really cool. That'd be like, oh shit, they have all the gold. I mean, hey, it still could happen, you know. Maybe
Yeah.
My negativity won't be a thing. Maybe, you know, maybe that won't be a betrayal. And maybe you'll be the right one. And maybe we get that, because that would be cool.
If only for, you don't even have to give me like a whole year. Give me like just 5 months of that. I'm good.
And you're like, yo, I'm satisfied, WWE. Thank you for listening to me.
Right. But, yeah.
All right.
I definitely think they're going to retain Rowan and Bryan, for sure.
You definitely think they're going to retain. Yeah, I definitely think so, too. I think, I just think there's more stories to be told if they retain as opposed to if they lose. So, the next match. Ricochet versus AJ Styles for the United States Championship.
Ooh.
That's going to be a freaking banger of a match. That one I would toss in the hat for match of the night, for sure.
Yeah, and I wouldn't blame you. That has all the potential right there.
Dude, I think Ricochet, I don't know how you feel about him, but like for me, he's been one of my favorites. I followed him in his career as Prince Puma when he was in Lucha Underground, and I remember Prince Puma was one of the reasons why I even watched Lucha Underground, which is crazy because like now here he is in, you know, WWE.
Matches he was having in Lucha Underground, yo, crazy insane matches. Y'all haven't seen early season of Lucha Underground, y'all need to check it out.
Yeah, really, please do. Like, I trust me, I get it. Some people might be reserved and they want to stick to their WWE, because for a very long time that was myself. I was just like, WWE is all I watch and that's it. But then, you know, I met my friend Trevor, who's probably listening to this right now. Shout out to him if you are. He kind of got me into other wrestling promotions because he kept on telling me, like, no, like, there's great wrestling in other places. And one of the first promotions he showed me outside of WWE was Lucha. And being a horror movie fan, I loved how they did everything there. I was like, oh, my God.
The promos and everything, the people dying behind the scene.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I'm like, I'm all about this. And like I said, Prince Puma was one of those people that I was like, that's my guy, you know? And then and then he got signed to NXT, and everything he did down there was incredible. And I'm so glad they decided to give Ricochet a United States Championship run early. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, come back to bite him in the ass. Like, things like that have been done before. But I also think them putting Ricochet with someone like AJ Styles shows you how much faith they have in Ricochet, because AJ Styles, to some people, is arguably the GOAT, you know? So the fact that they're like, hey, let's put Ricochet with this guy, I think it shows a lot. And I just think it's going to be it's going to be a phenomenal match. Not to be cheesy, but...
Oh, wow.
But it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good.
Do you think it's a clean finish, or we get some interference with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows?
I think we definitely get some interference with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, because I don't think they would be pushing this whole, like, getting the boys back together thing so much if they weren't going to have some involvement. And, I think with that being said, you know, I think – I don't know. I really do think they're going to do Ricochet dirty, like give him a short title run and give it to AJ.
Dang. Oh, wow. I hope that doesn't happen. The only positive I would see for something like that to happen is if, you know, they do a little feud and it builds up to the next, you know, to this really amazing story. Other than that, then if you just throw away Ricochet just like that, then yeah, that would be disappointing.
It really would be, because it would go to the, you know, the theory or the general consensus that, you know, the main roster ruins NXT stars. But I could definitely see like AJ winning, like you said, due to some like dirty tactics by the club, and then Ricochet winning it back at SummerSlam, unless like you know, tomorrow they do this thing where AJ is about to win and then one of them screws it up for him on accident, and then like strife is caused between them. I definitely don't know, but I'm going to go with my gut and say AJ Styles.
Wow. That's a tough one for me. I guess if I have to pick, I'm gonna say Ricochet wins via like some screwy finish, like a DQ or a count out or something weird at the end, where it's
Or
not, we
maybe
don't
like a
get it.
quick roll up or something.
Yeah, it's not gonna be a satisfying ending. It's gonna be a great match, but I feel like this is, for many of the matches on the card, this is probably the one that's more susceptible to a screwy finish.
Definitely. I could definitely see that happening because there's so many elements involved in it. So, you
Yes.
know what, when there's a lot of people involved, there's a lot of opportunity for some crazy shit to be happening.
Definitely want to be one of the better matches on this card for sure.
I agree with you there. Going on over to the next match, we have The Undertaker and Roman Reigns versus the best in the world, Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre.
Got to say with some more energy.
You can do it
No.
if you want, but me, I
Oh,
won't because I think that is the it is a steaming pile of dog poop.
definitely one of the lower potential matches on this card for sure. Like, I don't know what you're gonna do with Shane McMahon. I don't know what he's gonna jump off of in this match, honestly. Yeah, this song. Go ahead. I don't even know what to say on this one.
No, I was gonna say, I don't get this match at all. It makes no sense to me. And to be completely honest, this is no disrespect to The Undertaker because I love him. I do. I love him. Always have. He's amazing. He's probably the GOAT, honestly, just because he's the freaking Undertaker, you know? But like, why? I feel like WWE putting him in this match, it reeks of desperation to me. It really does. 100%. I get why they did it in the storyline sense because, you know, Shane is over here saying that he's the best in the world, and Drew McIntyre and him are claiming, you know, the ring as their yard now. And I know, like, Undertaker ain't gonna like that shit because, you know, Roman beat the Undertaker. So, in a sense, Undertaker respects Roman. Like, all right, this is your yard, but I'll be damned if I'll have these two buffoons try to take over what we've built and claim it as theirs. And I think that's why they did it, at least I hope, because to me that makes the most sense. But yeah, this match, I don't think it's gonna be worth anything. And it's a shame because I know that they probably wanna, you know, lessen Roman's workload, which is understandable. I get that 100%. But you know, the last time we saw Undertaker in the ring, he nearly died. So I don't know if I want to
Oh
see him in
man,
the
that match. Honestly, I think after that match, to me, in my opinion, it just seems like Undertaker didn't want to go out that way. He wanted to have a much better outing, and that's why I feel like he put him like he's back in the ring that so soon after, as you said, almost dying in Saudi Arabia.
know? Yeah, maybe you're right. You know what? I didn't even really think about that as a possibility, but
Because
maybe he was like,
he seemed so disappointed in himself and just with how the whole match went down. Just a look of disappointment on his face. And I don't know if you ever see, there was a interview he did when he was back in as the badass Undertaker, the biker Undertaker.
oh my God, that was the best.
Yes, he had mentioned like he didn't want to be one of those guys that you look inside the ring and you say, man, you should have seen this guy like 20 years ago. He was amazing. He never wanted to get to that point in his career, and I feel like it came full circle in his match against Goldberg. He became that guy. Like, as people were saying, oh man, you should have seen Undertaker back in the 90s. You should have seen Undertaker back then. And I feel like that's eating away at him a bit. And I feel like he needed a better outing,
And now he's
honestly.
gonna redeem himself. Yeah, you know that makes perfect sense, and that's completely, you know, commendable and respectable. Because yeah, because it was almost like, you know, the Undertaker's better than that. You know what I mean? And
Yeah,
it
yeah, yeah,
kind of
yeah.
like broke your heart. Like, this isn't the Undertaker. This is I don't know what this is, but this isn't the Undertaker. And yeah, I could totally see that. And I think, you know, working with a guy, especially like Roman, who's, you know, obviously the WWE's, you know, idea of the next guy to carry the company, and then not only, you know, teaming with Roman, but working with someone as great as Drew McIntyre, and as much as Shane McMahon is annoying the shit out of me right now, I can't lie and say that his matches aren't entertaining, because that fool does some crazy shit too. So I could see why Undertaker would want to work with all three of them.
Yo, that fool got thrown off a cage, man. Like, that dude has no regard for his life.
He definitely doesn't, and that's, I mean, in a weird way, it's like I wouldn't, you know, condone it because you have children, but at the same time, it's like, damn, like, you love this business so much that you're willing to risk life and limb just to entertain us. Like, I can't, you know, argue that or, like, you know, hate him for that, but this whole best in the world gimmick is the most annoying shit ever. But yeah, who do you think wins this match? I think this answer is pretty obvious, honestly. Maybe.
I'm going to be a little controversial, seeing as how he has not lost since WrestleMania, and he's beaten so many people. I'm going to say Shane retains.
Oh, shit. You really do?
Yeah.
Hot take. Oh, that is a hot take. Could you imagine if Shane McMahon is the one who pins The Undertaker?
And you know what? As crazy as that sounds, the way it's been, McIntyre is going to take out Roman, and Shane's going to get the pin over Undertaker.
They're going to do, like, two Claymore kicks on Undertaker, and then Shane's going to pin him. Oh, my God.
People are going to lose their minds.
People will imagine people start throwing trash. I would be like, oh, my God.
That's just me being controversial. That's going to be my pick. What about you? Who you got in this one?
Honestly, I was going to go with the obvious and say there's no freaking way they're going to make the Hounds of the Yard, if you will. By the way, that's a cool freaking shirt. If y'all haven't seen it, WWE put out this, like, sick shirt with, like, two dog hounds, and, like, one of them has the Roman Reigns symbol, one of them has the Undertaker symbol, and it says, like, our yard or something like that. It's a badass shirt. So, that being said, yeah, I don't see how they could lose, but I kind of like your controversial ending there. I like it.
Just want to see the world burn. Just give me a Shane victory over. Yeah,
Twitter,
right?
Would lose their mind. Twitter would just break. Oh, man. I mean, you know what? You're right, though. It does make sense, because you have this whole idea of, like, you know, Shane McMahon taking away time from other talent. You know, you saw that fucking...
Oh, Kevin Owens promo.
Kevin Owens, yo. Yeah, you saw that. You know, how he name-dropped everyone. By the way, thank you, Kevin Owens, for name-dropping Liv Morgan, because I was sitting in my room, and I was like, boy, you're fucking amazing. High five. Like, that was it was great.
Yo, WWE, where is Liv at, yo? Come on, yo.
I don't know. I really don't know. And it's funny, because we're getting a little bit sidetracked here, but Sarah Logan was on Raw this past Monday, and I lost my mind, because I was like, wait, what? They're putting her on TV? Are you serious? So I thought, okay, they put Sarah on TV Monday. Can we have Liv on Tuesday, please? But we still didn't get it, but she did get name dropped. So for that, Kevin Owens, thank you. Thank you so much, because it's really cool to see, like, the reaction, like, the name drops got to, and you know, like, oh, yeah. My God. Fans feel the same way we do, you know?
Yeah, he name drops Cedric Alexander, Buddy Murphy, Kairi Sane, Asuka, Liv Morgan.
Yeah, I was like, dude, this dude, he knows what's up. Like, because it's so true, you know? And I think they're going to use that, at, like you said, you know, more buffer, I guess. And maybe Shane and Drew do win, and then when Owens finally beats the shit out of Shane McMahon, that's, you know, more rewarding, because I feel like that's where we're going. But again, I just don't see how Roman and The Undertaker could lose. I really don't, because then that just shits out all their credibility. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
right. You
guys aren't anything anymore. You know, like, I don't know. I just don't see them losing.
If by some crazy chance I end up being right, I'm going to blow up your timeline.
Do it. do it. No, you know what? And truthfully, I want you to be right. Just because I think it would be more interesting. It would be like more like, it would give Shane that heat. You know, not that he doesn't have it already, but it would just give him more. And it's like, now I really want this dude to lose. And then when he does, the payoff is bigger. So I kind of like yours better. So no, if you are right, please blow up my timeline. I give you permission. Because I think it'll be fun. All
right, what match we got next?
The next match that we have is the match that I am most excited to talk about, and I'm probably going to
Is it your girl Bayley?
Yes, it is! My girl Bayley defending her SmackDown Women's Championship in a two-on-one handicap match against Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, and it was said this past Tuesday on SmackDown that if Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss do win, they will become the first ever co-women's champion. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one. This one's my main event. Every time Bayley's in a match, I'm just like, this is my match.
No, I fully respect that. Bayley at NXT was everything, man. She was like a firebird on NXT. She has shown she has the ability to be like a top star. Unfortunately, you know, it's just, you know, things maybe haven't gone her way, but I feel like this is a whole new year. Things are changing. She's definitely going to show why she is the SmackDown Women's Champion, 100%.
I agree 100%, and I'm not just saying that because she's my favorite, because, like you said, she was amazing in NXT. You know, she was like Wrestler of the Year down there at some point. She was in Match of the Year down there at some point. She is, in my opinion, out of the four horsewomen, you know, Bayley, Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte, Bayley's the most underrated one, I think, because I think she's the one that kind of gets forgotten about sometimes, especially now with, you know, the man, and then everybody's always loved the boss, and then Charlotte Flair is Charlotte Flair. Like, you don't really need to explain that. And, you know, I think a lot of people kind of just forget about Bayley sometimes. And I mean, it showed when, you know, Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha all got called to the main roster and then Bayley wasn't. And then when she did, we all know how that went. That I don't like talking about that time. That was a dark period in my life. Which is like, this is bad, this is crazy. Like, she was getting zero reaction, and I was literally the only one that, at least it felt that way, was the only one that gave a shit. And, you know, when she won Money in the Bank, I was ecstatic, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's almost a guarantee you're going to be champion. And then she cashes in on the same night, and I almost died. I was just very excited, and I think this new Bayley, I like it because she's more like aggressive and almost like feisty, and I don't really give a shit about y'all. I'm gonna kind of do what I need to do to better myself, you know?
Yeah, definitely. She definitely came in, you know, as Bayley, but it's maybe a little bit too nice, and just through time, she's got like a spunk now, like a oomph to her. She's still about the hugs, but she ain't like afraid to knock you out either.
Exactly. Like, the way that she's been standing up, like that one time when she made her SmackDown debut and she like stood up to Charlotte and
punched
the microphone out of her hand. I was like, oh shit, we don't get that side of Bayley. Okay. You know, we've seen it in recent weeks with Nikki Cross, and oh man, I'm so excited for this match, just because, like, obviously, you already probably know where I side, but we'll save that for a bit. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't mind like Nikki being champion, because I love what they've been doing. Like, I love that they're using her. I love that they're not letting her waste away on the main roster. And I think it's great. And I love this whole, you know, Alexa Bliss manipulating her, thinking she's her friend, because what I want to see happen is Nikki finally coming to the light and realizing, oh shit, like, this bitch was using me. I'm going to snap on Alexa Bliss and then have them feud, because I think that would be great.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm all for Nikki Cross just snapping on Alexa Bliss. So you think that they're going to do that as co-champions?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I hope not. I hope not, because I don't want Bayley to lose, right? Like, no. Not yet, anyway, because I know she'll have to eventually. But I don't want her to lose. And I am going with – did I give you – do you want me to give you my prediction, or do you want to go?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Drop it.
I'm going to go with Bayley.
Here's why.
Not only because I love her to death and she's my favorite and I can't root against her. Like, it's criminal for me to do that.
Right.
I think she is going to win because this is my prediction, biggest prediction for tomorrow night. And if it happens, I will cry. I think Bayley is going to get help from her friend.
Oh, shit. From the think about that.
Boss, Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks makes her return tomorrow at Extreme Rules. That's what I think. 100%.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's
that would be amazing.
I would cry. Like, if that happens, I'm blowing up your Twitter if that happens, because I'm going to be like a mess. I just think it makes the most sense because, especially with that promo that Nikki Cross cut this past Monday, talking about how Bayley's all alone and that she needs to go find the real friend. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's happening, isn't it? It's happening. They're doing it. And if I end up being wrong, I'm going to be so sad. But I really do think that that's what's happening.
Damn, that is wow. If that happens, man, I'm happy for you, man. That's great if that happens.
I would be ecstatic, you know. And I've been trying to think about it because everybody keeps saying that, and we'll get to that match in a bit, that they want Becky Lynch to have a new competitor, and they want it to be, you know, they want it to be Sasha. But my thought too, and this is a little like left field, but another idea theory that I have in my brain is that, yes, initially Sasha helps Bayley retain the championship, but then whether it happens at Extreme Rules or Monday Night Raw or before SummerSlam, at some point Sasha is going to turn on Bayley, and we are going to get what we wanted this whole entire time: heel Sasha Banks versus face Bayley for the championship, possibly. Just because I think it's something that everybody wants, and I think WWE knows that everybody wants it. You know what I mean? And at the same time, it would make sense for a storyline. You know, Sasha can talk about how she left because she was doing in a, you know, bad space mentally, and she needed to get her stuff together, so she took a break. And when she left, Bayley became the champion and won Money in the Bank and became the first Grand Slam champion. And she could say, you know, it was a selfish thing, and you didn't care about me, and you have all these achievements when these should have been mine. Like, it could easily be written to why Sasha would turn on Bayley, you know, after initially helping her. But I think that's what we're going to get somewhere down the line.
And Sasha Banks been over there in Japan doing some training, I'm just saying.
I know, and she was with Nico Satomura. I was like, yes.
Right?
I was like, I see you over there, girl. I was like, what you getting ready for? Coming back? Okay. Like, dude, I think that's what we're going to get. And I think that will possibly continue. Maybe we'll have a feud for a while with Nikki and Alexa versus, you know, the Boss and Hug connection, because ain't no connection stronger than the Boss and Hug connection.
Wow, you're a true fan. True fan.
I'm a true fan. That's the whole thing. But yeah, that's what I think. I think Bayley retains only to because she got help from her best friend.
Wow, that was a lot better than whatever I was going to say. I was just going to say Bayley retains and there's only because miscommunication between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and that would have been pretty much it. But your whole thing just blew it out of the water, man.
Thank
I'm
you.
All for your idea. I'm all for that.
I appreciate that. I really do. And hopefully, I mean, it'd be okay because Bailey would still win. But hopefully, I'm not let down and we get your outcome because I'm like, well, I just got hyped for no.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that didn't happen. I guess my.
No, you're telling me all this stuff. I'm like, yes, I'm all for that. I'm getting hyped just listening to this. Yo, let's do it. Let's go.
Let's make it happen. Let's hope it happens tomorrow. We've got two more matches to cover. The next one is for the WWE Championship as Kofi Kingston defends his title against Samoa Joe.
Ooh. This is going to be a good one.
How do you feel about this match?
I think Kofi, out of all the recent champions, Becky, Rollins, Bailey, whoever has been champion since WrestleMania, I feel Kofi has had probably the better title reign out of anybody. Every opponent has been tougher and tougher and tougher. That cage match with Dolph Ziggler was insane. And he fought, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. It just keeps getting more difficult. And now he's got pretty much the final boss, Samoa Joe. It's going to be tough. But me, just selfishly, I want to see Kofi lose. If he's going to lose the title, make him lose it at a big pay-per-view, you know, like a SummerSlam or you know, selfishly, I'd love to see him be champion all over WrestleMania. I don't think that's going to happen, but give it to me at a Royal Rumble or a SummerSlam, something big, you know, something worthy
of him. Or like a Survivor Series, something that matters, you know?
Yo, if they – Survivor Series is in Chicago. If they do that in Chicago, I'm going to lose my mind.
You're like, holy shit, man. No, yeah, that would be sick, dude, that – Because I agree. I think that if he loses it, he needs to lose it somewhere bigger. Just because of like you said, out of the three, you know, Seth, Becky, and Kofi that have been champions since WrestleMania. No disrespect to the other two, but Kofi has been the most entertaining and most meaningful, I feel, just because of who Seth and Becky are feuding with, and we'll obviously get into that a little bit later. But
right.
But yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how this match goes because I feel like Kofi Kingston's style with, you know, Samoa Joe's style, they're drastically different. They're so like they're worlds apart almost. So mm-hmm. I'm really intrigued to see where that goes.
Yeah, I didn't even think about their styles. They are very different, but I think that just from all the variety of opponents Kofi Kingston has been facing, from Daniel Bryan to Kevin Owens to Sami Zayn, like Dolph Ziggler, he's been drastically different styles, and he's approached each one. You just look back at his gauntlet matches, pairing up against so many different people, and every little match was entertaining as hell. Samoa Joe's no slouch either. He's amazing. He can match up with anybody. Sure, he's taken a lot of L's recently, so I think another L might hurt him, but I gotta go with Kofi.
Yep, gotta go with Kofi Mania. No, same. I don't think, like you said, as you said earlier, I don't think he's gonna lose it, you know, at a random pay-per-view like Extreme Rules. I just don't see that happening. As much as I love Samoa Joe and as much as I would love for him to have a championship, because that would be amazing. I don't think it happens tomorrow. I think Kofi retains. And I don't know, man. The only thing is, like, after Samoa Joe, though, who else is he going to compete against? And, again, bringing it back to earlier, maybe that's also a reason why, you know, Big E turns on him or something, because they can be like, well, you keep getting the job done. You know, you keep retaining your title, but when we have our opportunities – like, we're not champion, and there's, like, that bitterness. But, yeah, I definitely see Kofi losing.
All right, and what we got next?
The last one on our list is the main event. At least I think it's going to be the main event. And, oh, man, there's going to be a mouthful about this one because I have so much to say about everything. Becky Lynch, the Raw Women's Champion, and Seth Rollins, the Universal Champion, will be defending both their titles against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans in a winner-take-all match.
How do you really feel about this?
How do I really feel? I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, it's, and I know what people are thinking. They're probably thinking, oh, you don't like it because you don't like how WWE is exploiting Seth and Becky's relationship. That's part of it. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. I don't like it because of who the contenders are. You know, I get it. You know, they're the hills, they're the bad guys, so they're supposed to get under your skin and make you feel really irritated with them. But I just don't think, you know, Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin are credible contenders for Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. I really don't. And it's very irritating to me because I just think that Becky should be feuding with somebody else. You know what I mean? Not green as grass, Lacey Evans.
Definitely. She's been fighting with Lacey Evans for a minute now. Like, it's time for a new opponent. I 100% agree with you on that.
Like, you know, Becky called Lacey Evans Charlotte 2.0, and now we know why. Because it's just like, how many times are we going to have to see this match? I get it. It's a new added stipulation. But it's just, oh, like, I just want this feud to be done with. And I, you know, like I said, people have a gripe, and they're talking about how they're upset because now, like, every time Seth or Becky comes out, they're like, you know, Becky Lynch's boyfriend, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins' girlfriend, Becky Lynch. And it's just like, okay, dude, we get it. They're dating. All right. Like, so what? Like, let them just be a couple that wrestles. Like, that's it. Like, you know, like, we don't have to mention it every single time. It makes my head hurt so bad. I'm just like, all right, this is dumb.
I think that took a lot of the momentum out of the way of Rollins and Becky Lynch's title reign.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Because I think people kind of like eye rolled and were just like, oh my God, this is happening. Like, if they would have like posted that picture of them kissing and like mentioned it like once or twice and then had this match, it would be fine. But the fact that they have to like, you know, continuously remind us that these two are a thing, it's kind of just like, oh my God, all right, you know? And it's interesting because I'm not a big fan of when they blur reality with, like, you know, real life with the storyline, especially, like, if they, like, use it to set up matches and stuff. And my reason for that is because, you know, when that whole drama between Edge and Lita and Matt Hardy happened.
Oh, yeah.
That ruined my favorite wrestler, which is Lita. You know, I was before Bayley, Lita was my girl. You know what I mean? And it sucked for me to see my favorite wrestler not only become hated on TV, but hated in real life because of that.
Yo, people hated her in real life.
Like, it was bad. Like people were like calling her names, sending her death threats, and all of this crazy shit. And because of that, like, reason alone, I don't like when they blur real life with storyline. Sometimes it's okay, you know, like when CM Punk did it to Undertaker with Paul Bearer. That's fine, you know, because it's like, all right, he'll keep. But, like, when they're trying to, like, stir the pot with things that they shouldn't be stirring the pot with, I'm just like, you know, like, I don't like it. I think it's distasteful. They keep saying, like, oh, if Becky and Seth lose, it's going to ruin their relationship. And it's just dumb to me. It's cringy. But
they said that? I didn't even think that they said that.
Corey Graves was, like, talking about, like, oh, how do you think their relationship's going to go if he loses her title or some weird shit like that? And I'm just like,
Oh, my God.
I was like, is that what they're going to do then? Because, man, I just I don't want it. But with all of that being said, who do you think takes the win on this match?
I'm going to play it safe here. I'm going to go Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Rollins and Becky.
We're going to have a happy... Look, it's going to go like this. It's going to be a close match. We don't know who's going to win. They do a tag team move maneuver on both Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin. They end up getting the win. celebrating the title. We get them both in the ring, and then as they stare into each other's eyes, they, you know, give each other a little kiss. The camera zooms out. People are, aww, and that's our ending to the show.
You think so? Okay.
Too much detail? That's too specific.
I know, I think it's going to be cheesy. No, you know what? Oh, man. You're probably, like, 100% right. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah, you know.
To me, they love those. They call them the moments, you know. They love. This is just like the whole Nikki Bella, John Cena thing, the wedding proposal thing all over again.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, but better, because let's be honest here, Seth Rollins is better than John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Ooh, hot take.
Hot take, mic drop. I'm kidding, but no, I mean, yeah, no, I actually agree with you. I agree 100%. I think that's how it's going to go down. As far as who gets the win, that'll be interesting, because I kind of almost feel like the only way that they could lose is if there's like some miscommunication where both of their egos get in the way. I know that sounds really interesting, but I feel like, and you know, Becky Lynch is the man and Seth Rollins is the man's man. By the way, that shirt is hilarious. And I feel like everyone's going to buy that. It's going to, it's a hideous shirt, but I could see people buying it just because of what it says. And it's
you're just living it. You're just living the meme at this point.
Just live the life, man. but yeah, I mean, I feel like I agree with you on that prediction. I think Becky and Seth retain, but I think it would be really interesting if there was like this miscommunication because one's trying to outdo the other one, and then because of that, they're like, you know, machismo, you know, cost them their titles, and it'll be really interesting to see if that does happen. Like who. Whose fault is it? You know, is it going to be Seth's fault? Is it going to be Becky's fault? Because, I mean, if they want to take it there, they could easily be like, it's your fault that I lost the title or whatever. And then, you know, the tension happens there. But I just don't think if they do that, I don't think Extreme Rules is the pay-per-view to do it at. I don't think it's not like a big caliber pay-per-view, you know? And I don't know. I just think, the only reason why I'm kind of like a little bit like on the fence of them possibly losing is because for me, I think it's been really interesting to see gender roles reversed almost, because Becky is playing the part of like, I'm saving Seth Rollins' ass instead of the other way around, where like the guy usually saves the girl, you know? And I think out of the two, you know, Becky's more over than Seth Rollins right now, which is really interesting to me. So I feel like maybe that could be the only issue where they might lose, is like, you know, that whole like miscommunication trying to one up each other. But for the most part, 95% of me agrees with you in that Becky and Seth retain tomorrow. We get that.
Who's going to get pinned? Lacey Evans or Baron Corbin?
Oh my God, that's a good question, because I didn't even think about that. See, this is what I want. This is what I would love to see, but I don't know if WWE's ready for that, because I mean, I don't know if wrestling will be ready for that, especially like on TV. But I mean, I want it. I think the fans are ready. I want some intergender stuff happening tomorrow. I want like Becky to like beat the shit out of Corbin. Somehow, some way, you know what I mean?
Like, you don't watch Impact Wrestling by any chance, do you?
I do every once in a while. Yeah, there wasn't. I haven't watched it recently, but I do know that Tessa Blanchard, she wrestled. I forget who she wrestled, but she wrestled.
Yeah, she wrestled Sami Callihan in the main event, and man, that match was amazing.
I gotta check that out.
Gotta check it out. Check out the whole show. Honestly, the whole show was crazy. But
Slammiversary, right?
Yes. Both women's matches the women's match was insane. And then, so yeah, if you're a fan of women's wrestling, watch the women's match. It was probably one of the better matches on the show. And then, intergender match. If people are on the fence about how it can be done, you gotta watch that.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it. Yeah, because I mean, like, I know this is an unpopular opinion because this woman is blacklisted now, but when Sexy Star became, you know, the Lucha Underground World Champion, like, that shit was huge. I was like, yeah. Oh, oh my God, like they freaking did it, you know, they freaking did it. And you know, you see out on the indies when Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae, when they were tag partners, you know, and like their match against the Young Bucks. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah, crazy matches.
Candice gets busted open like crazy. And I'm like, dude, this is crazy stuff. And that's what I want to see in WWE. I don't know if we'll ever get there. I know supposedly we're not going to see any of it in AEW because apparently Tony Khan doesn't like intergender wrestling. And I said, boo hoo you.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. I mean, it just depends on how it's done. You know, it can easily be where it's like very unbelievable. But as the matches you mentioned and everything, if it's done like that, then people buy in. It's believable. No one's thinking of like domestic violence or anything like that. It's just wrestling, you know.
Exactly, and that's the general consensus you hear among fans and even among, you know, wrestlers, is that like, why is it so unbelievable that it, like, a woman can actually handle herself against a guy? Like, you do know that in real life, like, that's a thing still, you know? And so I really do think we need to get away from that negative stigma. And I think it would be really interesting tomorrow if we saw, like, Becky and Corbin toss it up, or even, like, you know, Lacey and Seth, like, you know, like, create some tension, because, like, if Lacey beats up Seth, you know, Becky's not going to take that well. So, I think, you know, that'll be interesting. But as far as who takes the pin, like I said, it would be awesome if, like, Becky got Corbin to tap out somehow. I don't necessarily think that's going to be a thing. But even if that isn't a thing, I think Corbin takes the pin this time.
Nice. I agree with you 100%. I think Corbin's going to take it over Lacey. Lacey's been, you know, she hasn't had the best win record lately, so I think definitely Corbin is going to eat that L for sure.
I agree, and especially because, you know, I hear reports and whatnot that, you know, Vince is very high on Lacey Evans and things like that, and I don't think they need her to be losing constantly on pay-per-views if they're still going to try to build her as something. And I think Corbin, he can take the loss and handle it, in the sense, because he's already like that chicken shit heel anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He runs his mouth and acts arrogant and then like loses, or when he doesn't lose, he wins by cheating or something. So I think it would make more sense for Baron Corbin to take the loss tomorrow.
Nice.
But man, that was it. That's the whole entire card for Extreme Rules. It kicks off tomorrow on the WWE Network at, I believe it's 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be watching it. I know, Benji, you're going to be watching it. For all the listeners that listened in today, I hope you enjoyed this back and forth. And I plan on having more guests on the show in the future, because now I know how to make it work. And yeah, I'm really excited. So thank you, Benji, for joining me today.
Oh, no problem. This is so much fun. I do listen to your podcast, and I do recommend it. Just listening it, tell your friends, tell your grandmas, tell everybody about this podcast.
Thank you so much, Benji. I appreciate that. And to the listeners that do come back, as always, I say it every week, thank you guys for listening, because this podcast is still in its very early stages. So I appreciate the loyal support already, and I hope all of you guys enjoy Extreme Rules, and if you guys are watching Fight of the Fallen, enjoy that. If you're watching Evolve, enjoy that. There's so much wrestling happening.
Yo,
this week.
What a time to be a wrestling fan, man. This is so much right now.
Exactly. No, I agree with you 100%, and it's like, that's what makes me happy, is like, wrestling is flourishing right now, and it's cool to be a wrestling fan. I mean, yes. I always think it's cool, but you know.
But you remember the dark days when it was like, it wasn't the cool thing, and it was just like, you were an outcast for liking it.
Or you were a nerd, and they're like, why do you watch this shit? Like, it's so dumb.
That shit's fake. It's dumb. It's not real. They're just play fighting. Like, it's just people, sweaty people wrestling each other, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard that.
We've all heard it. And yeah, and we still get it from time to time. But lately, it's become hard for people to criticize it, because it's It's so good. Like, even in WWE's standpoint, like, yeah, sure, man, there's some shit that I wish they could fix, but it's getting better. AEW, they've had, what, 3 pay-per-views so far? It's been great so far, and I can't wait for their TV deal. You have TNA. Things are picking up there. Like, you have so much to watch, so much to delve into. So, guys, please keep watching wrestling. Stay addicted to the squared circle. You know the whole deal. But before I get out of here, Benji, is there anything that you would like to plug, anything you got going on, social medias, anything like that? The floor is yours, my friend.
All right. You can all check me out at Kyle Arena Comedy. You just want to talk some smack. You just want to, you know, shoot the shit. Go ahead. Hit me up. I got YouTube. You can hit me up at same thing, at Kyle Arena Comedy. I got an Instagram. If y'all ever in Chicago, hit me up. I got shows, stand-up shows I do. Just hit me up.
That's awesome, man. And yeah, guys, be sure to check out all his stuff. And as always, if you want to get a hold of me and ramble with me about professional wrestling, you can hit me up at GreatLove91 on Twitter and Instagram. Again, guys, enjoy all the wrestling. And like I said, thank you for joining in. Stay safe, stay happy, stay addicted to the squared circle. Later, Benji. This is Nessa signing off. Bye, guys.